From noble hearts, the lessons flow. The path of truth they always show. Noble personalities, noble personalities, noble personalities.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Noble Personalities. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, in today's episode and program, we are going to focus on the noble personality of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. And subhanallah, his title is Al-Imam Al-Azam, the greatest Imam. His appellation is Abu Hanifa and his Mubarak name is Nu'man. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, let's first and foremost recite Salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Sayyidina Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajweri al-Hanafi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he had a deep attachment to Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And he has related that during the journey to Syria, I visited the sacred tomb of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the blessed Muaddin of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There, I slept and found myself in Makkah Mukarramah. Here, I saw the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the door of the tribe of Bani Shaybah, kindly holding an elderly man as a child is held in the hands. Out of my overwhelming love, I fell upon the feet of the Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was curious to know who this aged man was. And the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the state of my curiosity due to his blessed knowledge of the unseen and his inner power. And he said to me, "This is Abu Hanifa and he is your Imam." After relating this dream, Sayyidina Tata Ganja Bakhsh rahimahullah, he says, "I learned that Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah is regarded amongst those blessed personalities whose qualities are established like the established rulings of Sharia. This is why the one with the most graceful manners, the most revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showed an immense attachment to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, which leads to the conclusion that the way the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is free from committing mistakes, in the same way, by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah is also free from committing mistakes. Alhamdulillah. Hamare aqa, hamare maula, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Hamare malja, hamare mawa, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Zamane bhar mein bahut tajassus kiya wo lekin mila na koi imam tumsa Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, the parable that we have learnt and which is narrated by Data Ganj Bakhsh rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, through this parable we have learnt the glory and eminence of His Eminence Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, and at the same time we have also realized that the Prophet of creation, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is also aware of the states of the hearts, and due to this reason he fulfilled the curiosity of Sayyidina Data Ganj Bakhsh rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him that this is Abu Hanifa and he is your Imam. This was just a dream. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has revealed much knowledge of the unseen on numerous other occasions. Sayyidatuna Unaysa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she related that, "My father has told me that when he had fallen ill, the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had visited him and said that this illness would not become a source of harm for you, but having passed a long time, you will lose your eyesight after my apparent demise. Hearing this, she says that my father humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will be patient for the sake of the reward. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, if you do this, you will enter paradise without accountability. After the apparent demise of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she says that my father began to lose his eyesight. Then after a period of time, Allah Azza wa Jal regained his eyesight. He restored his eyesight, and then after that, my father passed away. Subhanallah. This is the knowledge of the unseen that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam possesses. Listening to this narration, a satanic whisper may occur in someone's mind that if knowledge of the unseen is only possessed by Allah Azza wa Jal, then how can the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reveal knowledge of the unseen? And the answer to that is that yes, there is no doubt that Allah Azza wa Jal is Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada, and the all-encompassing knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is His own, it's personal, it's Zati, and not given by anyone, which is from forever, from eternity. Whereas the vast knowledge of the blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the saints rahimahullah ta'ala is ata'i, is bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their knowledge is not for eternity or from eternity. They only know since they have been bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they know as much as they have been bestowed with. Also, they do not know anything, not even equal to the tiniest particle, without the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the question remains, who has been bestowed with how much? This is only in the knowledge of the one who bestows, meaning in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who receives it, as it is mentioned in the glorious Quran. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ. He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not a miser to disclose the unseen. Regarding this blessed verse, it is stated in the commentary of Tafsir Khazin that this blessed verse implies that when the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, attains knowledge of the unseen, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows no miserliness in this regard, but he shares it with you. We have learned from this blessed verse and interpretation that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam reveals knowledge of the unseen, and it is obvious that only the one who knows can disclose it. Revealing his knowledge of the unseen, the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that لو كان العلم بالثريا لتناوله أناس من أبناء فارس. That if ilm, meaning knowledge, were hanging on the cluster of seven stars, Suraya, some people from the descendants of Faras, Persia, would surely find it from there. Sayyidina Imam Ibn Hajar Makki, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that this sacred hadith refers to the blessed personality of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and there is no doubt in this fact, because none from Faras could attain such a superior status like that of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Even the levels of the knowledge of his students were greatly advanced. We also have the evident miracle of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he revealed the knowledge of the unseen and stated what was going to happen in the future. Subhanallah. Dear brothers, the fact is, Azharu min ash-shams wa abyanu min al-ams. As we say, the proverb says that this mere fact is brighter than the sun and more believable than the past. That our beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been bestowed with the knowledge of the unseen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed the information about Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi's overwhelming insight and eminence in knowledge, even before the blessed birth of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. It has happened exactly as it was stated by the revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the blessed Imam, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he came into this world, the popularity of his blessed knowledge spread and illuminated all corners of the world. If we look at the literal meaning of the blessed name of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, that is Nu'man, we discover absolute conformity of this blessed name with his grand personality. Shaykhul Islam Shahabuddin Imam Ahmad ibn Hajar Haythami Makki Ash-Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, he has concluded that scholars have consensus over his name Nu'man. And a very pleasant and graceful thing in the blessed name of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is that Nu'man refers to such a blood which retains the structure and the proper functioning of the human body. So the reason behind calling him by the name of Nu'man is that he, rahimahullah ta'ala, is a base and foundation of Islamic jurisprudence. Subhanallah, what a beautiful analogy that was. And this is, subhanallah, the wisdom behind the name of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, which is Nu'man. And subhanallah, Imam Ibn Hajar Makki rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has written a beautiful biography on the life of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, where he has highlighted the name of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Many of us, we call him either Imam Azam or Imam Abu Hanifa, but very few of us are aware of his beautiful name, that is Nu'man. And here he named the book itself Al-Khairatul Hisan Fi Hayati Abi Hanifat al-Nu'man, meaning his name also reflects in the title of the book, subhanallah. And the shair, he beautifully says regarding the praises of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that Tumhare aage tamam alam na kyun kare zanue adab kham ki peshwa yaane deene mana Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Siraj tu hai bighair tere jo koi samjhe hadith o Quran, phire bhatakta na paaye rasta Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Dear brothers, let's learn some basic information regarding the life and the biography of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, because we follow his madhab in fiqh. And subhanallah, he is the imam of fiqh, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the imam of jurisprudence. And he is, subhanallah, the imam of millions of Hanafis around the world. The famous name of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, as we have just learned, is Nu'man. And the name of his father is Thabit. So Nu'man bin Thabit rahimahullah. His patronym and his kunya is Abu Hanifa, and his title is Al-Imam Al-Azam. He was born in the year 80 Hijri in the city of Kufa, which is a famous city of Iraq. And he passed away on the second Sha'ban Al-Mu'azzam, in this month of Sha'ban, the same month of Sha'ban Al-Mu'azzam regarding which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated Sha'ban Al-Shahri. And Sha'ban is my month. And subhanallah, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, he passed away in the month of Sha'ban at the age of 70 and in the year 150 Hijri. Subhanallah, this month is the month of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And ulama have mentioned that since it is the month of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we all should recite salawat upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in abundance as much as we can. As inshallah azza wa jal recite together, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. If he was all four imams of fiqh, that are subhanallah four imams, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, are righteous, and their disciples of proper faith are brothers to one another. Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah's rank is highest among all four imams. One of the reasons for this is that he is the only tabi'i among them. And who is a tabi'i? Tabi'i refers to one who had met any Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? A companion of the Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has attained the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with iman, and he has passed away with iman, while in the state of iman, and also passed away in the state of iman. And subhanallah, according to different narrations, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala was privileged to meet a few sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and has also listened to the blessed hadith of the noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly from the blessed sahaba radiyallahu anhum. And the shair says, hai naam Nu'man ibn Thabit, Abu Hanifa hai unki kunyat, pukarta hai ye keh ke alam, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. And now let's learn some of the beautiful attributes of our great Imam, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Nu'aym rahimahullah ta'ala, great muhaddith, he says that regarding the physical appearance of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he mentions that his blessed face, clothing and shoes, etc., would always remain in good condition. And he, rahimahullah, would help everyone who visited him. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, was of medium height. He would interact with people in a very dignified manner. And he, rahimahullah, would abundantly apply fragrance, itr. And he would also be recognized by his pleasant fragrance. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Mis'ar bin Kidam rahimahullah ta'ala has said that I once came to the masjid of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. I noticed that after offering Salatul Fajr, the Imam rahimahullah continued delivering religious knowledge to the people throughout the day. During the whole day that he is teaching, he would only take break for Salah. And after Salatul Isha, he rahimahullah headed home. A short while later, he was dressed in simple clothing, applied itr, and with a luminous face came to the masjid with his fragrance filling the air. He performed nafl salah at a corner and continued until the morning. Thereafter, he rahimahullah returned home, wore something else, and after offering Salatul Fajr with congregation, his routine of preaching continued till Isha, just like the previous day. I thought perhaps he would have been exhausted by now, so he would rest that night, but he followed the same routine the following night as well. Later, he spent the third day and night in the same manner. I was profoundly influenced by this and decided to stay in his company throughout my life. And so I stayed permanently in his masjid. Throughout my stay there, I always saw Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi observing fast during the day, and he was never heedless of ibadah and worship and nafl every night. However, he rahimahullah would have a little rest before Salatul Zuhr. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was also in the profession of trade to earn halal income. Along with teaching and learning, he also had a trade. He rahimahullah would not only do business within the confines of Shari doctrines and principles, but he would also care for others and urge his colleagues to do the same. Speaking of work-life balance, right? And there also, our great Imam had a perfect balance, subhanallah. And in all of that, he always maintained the integrity of Sharia, the halal and the haram. He would only earn that which is halal and stay far away from haram and even doubtful things. Sayyidina Hafs bin Abdul Rahman rahimahullah ta'ala used to trade with Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He once had some goods. While sending it to Sayyidina Hafs rahimahullah, the Imam sent instructions with him that, O Hafs, such and such cloth bears some defect. Disclose this when you sell it. Sayyidina Hafs, he he forgot about the defect and sold it without even remembering who the customers were, those who purchased from him. So when the great Imam came to know about this, he, rahimahullah, distributed the value of that whole stock as sadaqah and charity. When a business partner of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, unintentionally sold defective goods, Imam Azam, rahimahullah, gave away all the proceeds that were obtained from that sale, its value in sadaqah. But alas, today, defective goods are sold unintentionally in our society. But sometimes, not even unintentionally, they are sold by cheating, concealing the defects. Many of us, our moral and ethical values have stumbled into the depth of degradation to such an extent that when our kids tell a lie or manage to extract something from somebody by cheating, by unlawful means, we consider it a great deed and praise the child for doing that. And sometimes foolishly saying, my dear, you have learned now the ways of life. You have learned business dealings. You have become, you know, very clever and so on and so forth. We applaud the children for doing the wrong. On the contrary, we must provide madani training to our children. And we should not strike a bargain by cheating and lying. Such wicked action would actually lead to a decline in our business, in our earnings, because of a divine punishment, and we will be destroyed even in the hereafter. We shall be humiliated and become deserving of the divine torment. Those who cheat and deceive should ponder upon the blessed hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has stated that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that none of you will become a true mu'min, a true believer, until he loves for his fellow brother what he loves for himself. Therefore, who would like to receive ruined goods or defective goods, receive goods by cheating or lying? Who likes to consume interest or likes bribes? Who wants to become poor due to his simplicity? Undeniably, no one will like all these things for himself. But then why do we make business plans and dealings to trap fellow Muslims in such wicked actions? If we wouldn't like the same thing to be done to us, then why do we feel that, okay, it's fine if we do it to others, but it's not good when it's done to you, tasting your own medicine, right? Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has narrated that the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by a heap of grain, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand inside it, and he found wetness in it. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O owner of this grain, what is this?" The man humbly said, "These have been wet by rainfall." He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Okay, why did you not put the rain damaged grain on top so that people could see it? Whoever cheats is not one of us." Allahu Akbar. So this is the warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Through this blessed hadith, we have come to know that making any product defective is also a sin, and concealing defects caused by nature is also a sin. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarded the concealed grain to be contaminated. May Allah azza wa jal safeguard us from telling lies and cheating in business, keeping in view the Shari principles. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Dear viewers, inshallah azza wa jal, we are also going to learn about the asceticism and the piety of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. But before that, we have, mashallah, a wonderful kalam in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's, inshallah azza wa jal, listen to the naat, immersed in love for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we shall return and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Allah ho ghani kaisi wo pur kaif ghadi thi jab saamne nazron سے لیے بوسے کبھی ہونٹوں سے چوما, نظروں سے لیے بوسے کبھی ہونٹوں سے چوما. اس شہر کی ہر چیز مجھے خوب لگی تھی, اس شہر کی ہر چیز مجھے خوب لگی تھی. لجپال کی چوکھٹ پہ کھڑا تھا, لجپالوں کے لجپال کی چوکھٹ پہ کھڑا تھا. قسمت میری اس در پہ کھڑی جھوم رہی تھی, قسمت میری اس در پہ کھڑی جھوم رہی تھی. کیفی بتاؤں تمہیں لوگوں, کیفیت دل کیسے بتاؤں تمہیں لوگوں, جب پہلی نظر گنبد خضرا پڑی تھی, جب پہلی نظر گنبد خضرا پہ پڑی تھی, مجرم تھا کھڑا سر کو جھکائے ہوئے در پر, مجرم تھا کھڑا سر کو جھکائے ہوئے در پر, آنسو تھے رواں ایسے کہ ساون کی جھڑی تھی, آنسو تھے رواں ایسے کہ ساون کی جھڑی تھی. لے ڈوبتے آمال میرے مجھ کو نیازی, لے ڈوبتے آمال میرے مجھ کو نیازی, جا پہنچا مدینے میری تقدیر بھلی تھی, جا پہنچا مدینے میری تقدیر بھلی تھی. اللہ غنی کیسی وہ پر کیف گھڑی تھی, جب سامنے نظروں کے مدینے کی گلی تھی.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. Welcome back, dear viewers. You are listening to the beautiful kalam in the praises of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now we are back and we shall discuss further the asceticism and the piety of Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Previously we learned as to how he wouldn't want to deceive others, and he sold and he gave, after selling the defective clothes and the buyers not having been informed, he gave the proceeds from the entire sale as charity and sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So cheating and deceiving Muslims is a terrible thing. Remember that if we sell any defective item using false oaths without disclosing the defect, it obviously means that we have deprived the buyer of his due right, and we will be held accountable for this offense on the Day of Judgment. Therefore, we should not cause any delay in discharging the rights of people which are incumbent upon us, and to also seek true forgiveness from those whose rights we have violated in the past, and be cautious in this regard in the future as well. Especially controlling the tongue in this connection is crucial, because the tongue is such an organ that makes one commit more sins. It may bring us to disgrace in the hereafter by making us utter harsh remarks for someone, or by indulging us in someone's backbiting. It is for this reason that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala used to guard his tongue and used to speak very little. Sayyidina Shariq rahimahullah ta'ala, he commented that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah used to remain silent. He rahimahullah was incredibly intelligent and discerning, and despite being such a glorified faqih and jurist, he rahimahullah used to avoid debates and arguments with others. Once Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala told Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah that alhamdulillah Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala is so passionate against backbiting that he has never heard the Imam rahimahullah speaking ill of even his enemies. Sayyidina Dumaira rahimahullah, he said that there is no disagreement over the truthfulness of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He rahimahullah would never speak ill of anybody. Once he was told that people were using offensive language against him, but even upon that, he rahimahullah never spoke harshly against them, others. He rahimahullah has stated that my patience and forbearance over foul language of people is a great favor and a grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, who bestows whomsoever he wills. Sayyidina Bukair bin Ma'ruf rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that I have never seen anyone in the ummah of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more courteous than Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Subhanallah. Fudul goi ki nikli adat, hudur beja hasi ki khaslat, durud padta rahu mehardam Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Have you seen that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala would remain silent and frequently in order to save himself from the harms of excessive talking, and he would avoid unnecessary talking. Undoubtedly, excessive talking and speaking without thinking can result in terrible consequences, and it may become a cause of Allah's displeasure. Indeed, safety lies in Qufl-e Madina, when you have to zip your mouth and not utter any nonsense. Qufl-e Madina, subhanallah, is forming a habit to remain silent and quiet for as long as possible and for an extended period of time, by saving oneself from unnecessary things. In order to develop the habit of being silent, it is beneficial to communicate by writing or gestures rather, because one who speaks more also he makes more mistakes, even revealing secrets at times. It is also incredibly difficult for such a talkative person to avoid sins like backbiting, carrying tales, and fault finding, etc. Even the person who has a habit of talking excessively sometimes utters blasphemous words, ma'azallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us and grant us the privilege of observing Qufl-e Madina. Good and pious company and gatherings are rare nowadays, and many good-looking people are also found in worthless gossiping. If only we meet people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our gatherings and meeting should be accordingly arranged, that they must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They must be zikrullah rather than gossiping about people. The beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, part of the protection of one's Islam is to leave what does not concern him. Commenting on the hadith, Sadrul Sharia Batrul Tariqah, Allama Mawlana Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that one should not involve himself in futile matters and prevent his tongue, heart and organs from useless things. SubhanAllah, Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, his life was a testament to that he, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to avoid excessive talking, and he would keep Qufl-e Madina, subhanAllah, and he would always remain silent and spoke very little. Ya Rab, na zarurat ke siwa kuch bhi bolu, Allah zaba ka hua ta Qufl-e Madina. Bak bak ki ye aadat na sare hashr phasa de, Allah zaba ka hua ta Qufl-e Madina. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear brothers, it is stated on page number 396 of a renowned book called Call to Righteousness, authored by His Eminence Shaykh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah Abu Barakatum Laliya. And in that book, he has written that Allama Abdul Wahab Sha'rani rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated that once Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was in the wudu area of the Jami Masjid in Kufa, where he saw a young man performing ablution. Drops of water of wudu were dripping from the body of that person. The Imam rahimahullah said that, son, repent from disobeying your parents. The young man instantly replied, I have repented. Then, seeing drops of water dripping from the limbs of another man, the Imam rahimahullah said to him, O brother, repent of adultery. The man replied, I have repented. Thereafter, seeing the drops of water dripping from the limbs of a third person, the noble Imam rahimahullah said to him, repent from drinking intoxicants, listening to songs and music. And he replied, I have repented. Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala was blessed with the power of kashf, spiritual insight, and was able to see the faults of people. He rahimahullah made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove his power of kashf from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua, and thereafter he was no longer able to see the sins of people dripping off their limbs during wudu. Subhanallah, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear brothers, this is the spiritual insight of the spiritual leader of millions of Hanafis, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He is to see the disobedience and wrongdoings of people dripping off their limbs from the drops of wudu water. It was certainly a great miracle of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. However, he rahimahullah did not like to be aware of people's faults, and then he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi made dua in the blessed court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for preventing this divine attribute from him, and Allah azza wa jal answered his supplication. There is a warning here for those people who make tall claims of their devotion and strong attachment to Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, but they also at the same time indulge in fault finding. Yes, about revealing the faults of others, exposing people. Remember, unnecessarily finding faults in others is a disgusting and nasty habit as well as it is a sin and a haram act leading to hell. It is clearly stated in the glorious Quran, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not search for faults. And if we disclose that fault to others, then it is another sin. And if that fault is of any scholar, then the sin is multiplied. In this regard, Sayyidina Imam Abu Hamid Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated that disclosing the fault of any scholar is haram due to two reasons. Firstly, it is backbiting, and secondly, it is that people grow bold upon committing the same sin fearlessly, assuming it to be a justification and proof. And shaitan will also aid the one following such acts, and he would be misled by satanic whisperings. You also do such and such things. You are not more pious than so and so scholar, etc. If he can do, so can you. These sort of evil whisperings he will cause. The more people will be made aware of that fault, the more that sin will be multiplied. First and foremost, a Muslim should refrain from finding faults in others. And if someone does relate it, he should still avoid it. In case if he comes to know anyone's fault, then he should conceal it and must not reveal it without any shari reason. There are beautiful sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. In one hadith, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that one who keeps the secrets of a believer, it is as if he has given life to a baby girl who was buried alive. In the second hadith, it is mentioned that if anyone removes a worry of a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will remove one of the anxieties from him on the day of resurrection. And if anyone conceals the fault of a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will conceal his fault on the day of judgment. And the one who conceals the fault of his brother, after becoming aware of it, he will be entered into Jannah. Subhanallah. Meri zabaan pe ufle madina lag jaye, fuzul goi se bachta raho sada ya rab, kisi ki khamiya dekhen na meri aankhein aur sunen na kaan kabhi aibon ka tazkira ya rab. Ameen bi jahin nabiy ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, we have mashallah very beautiful Madani pearl and nasiha for us to learn our beautiful Islamic lessons from. Let's go, inshallah, listen to the nasiha, and thereafter we shall be back and move towards the conclusion of today's episode and program. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Have you heard of the incident where Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions a blessed hadith, the summary of which is, it is not allowed for two Muslims to not be on talking terms for more than 3 days and nights. One day, Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhumah, they had some difference of opinion. There was something unpleasant that may have transpired, and they were not talking to each other. The great Sahabi Jaleel, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he goes to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. He says, "Oh Imam, you know, I can't bear to see that you and your brother are not on talking terms. Please, you go to him, apologize, mend this relationship. You are the small brother." Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what did he reply? Subhanallah. He says, "If I did not hear the blessed narration that the one who initiates the mending of the relationship, the one who moves forward first to apologize and to bring back the relationship to a healthy status, that person will enter Jannah first, then I would have gone to him. But I do not want to go to Jannah before my beloved big brother Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu." Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he goes to Sayyidina Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiallahu anhu and informs him of this whole thing. And then the two of them, they reconcile. And it's a great lesson for us. that the person who has this mindset, my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter, they are not talking to me, they're not phoning me, they're not inviting me home, I won't invite them. I won't phone them. I won't contact them. Do you really want to have regrets that you are going to live with for the rest of your life if that person passes away tomorrow? So let us try to make sure that nafsul ammara, the ego, does not overpower us, does not overpower our minds. Let us break free from the shackles of the tricks and traps of shaitan and be the first to initiate the apology and to mend those ties. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Welcome back to you, viewers. Subhanallah, we were listening to this amazing nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal on it. Ameen, bijahin, nabiyil ameen. We have learned so many beautiful values from the biography of the great Imam, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala. And I would encourage you to read books that are written on the biography of the great Imam, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah ta'ala, such as many books available from the website of Dawat Islami. And subhanAllah, the works such as Al-Khairatul Hisan, Fi Manaqibi Al-Imam Al-Azam Abi Hanifat Al-Nu'man, and many other works of the Aimma of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that have paid tribute to the great works of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. We follow his fiqh, so we should get to know more about our noble Imam, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. Sayyidina Qais bin Rabi' rahimahullah, he has narrated that Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah would accumulate goods of trade from his earnings. Then he would buy clothing with that and he would present them to the scholars, the muhaddithun and the needy people. And then he would say that, glorify Allah Azza wa Jal who has blessed you with this. I swear by Allah Azza wa Jal that I have not given you anything from my possession. Any person would visit Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, he would inquire about him, and if he would be needy, then he would give him something. And then once a person visited Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala wearing a torn and tattered clothing upon, he was wearing these torn clothes. And when people had left, then Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala instructed him to sit when he was alone. And Imam Azam rahimahullah said, lift this prayer mat and pick what is beneath it. He found 1,000 dirhams underneath. Sayyidina Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala he said, take these dirhams and improve your condition. He humbly said that, O Imam, I am already prosperous. I have blessings and bounties that I do not need it. This money that you are offering me, I don't need it. I am wealthy myself. Upon that, the great Imam said that, have you not heard the hadith that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves to see the effects of His blessings upon His bondsmen? You should improve your condition so that your friend should not feel sympathetic about you. Subhanallah. Yes, this was, subhanallah, a great way of teaching somebody about, if they have received the ni'mah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no need to dress up like a beggar. So, this man having so much of wealth and everything, then the ni'mahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet he was still wearing torn and tattered clothes, and this shouldn't be the case. And one should avoid wearing torn clothes anyway, because it brings poverty. And if the clothes are torn, then try and stitch it first and then wear it. Similarly, it is not advisable to eat food in plates and utensils that are broken. Right? Or one can fix it first and then eat from that as well. So likewise, subhanallah, the great Imam, he taught this person that if Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon you so much, and he mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Azza wa Jal loves to see the effect of his blessings upon his bondsmen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all great blessings and grant us tawfiq to do good with those blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, and to be generous with it and share it with the others and help people in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
From noble hearts the lessons flow, the path of truth they always show. Noble personalities, noble personalities, noble personalities.